Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Thursday Morning Shir at the Young Israel of Woodmere. I hope everybody is well. Just a calendar announcement, please. January 26, which is Yeshiva week, there's no Shir. Please, next week there is Shir, but Ezra Hashem. Okay? But January 26, please mark your calendar. That's in 2 weeks from today. There is no Shir, not on Zoom and not in person. The Young Israel of Woodmere office will also send out the email, but I just want to make you aware. But next week, Ba'ezrat Hashem, all shall be well. We do have Shir, okay? So January 26, there is no Shir. Okay, so good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Thursday morning class at the Young Israel of Woodmere. We have a special Shir sponsor today. Our Shir is graciously sponsored by my dear friends Mimi and Stuart Samuels, Zeicher Nishmas Mimi's father, Alav Hashalom Moshe ben Yechiel Mechel, whose Yahrzeit is Chof Gimel Teves, first Yahrzeit. And I was just talking to Mimi outside before I came in. I specifically remember when he was Nifton, I remember coming to be Menachem Aval, because I must have been right after, between Vayechi and Shemos. And I remember last year, Pashas Vayechi, we spoke about Yosef and Yaakov, not in that order. Yaakov and Yosef's dying requests and the importance of Eretz Yisrael and Kavura and Eretz Yisrael. And Mimi said to me, when I went to be Menachem Aval, how relevant the Shir was and what a chizik it was, and her father is Zocha to Kavura and Har Menuchot. So the Neshama should truly have an aliyah and the chus of these Divrei Torah that we will share. You should be a Meili Tzosha for your whole family, Rebisuros Tovos and Simchas and Nachos and Brios. And we thank you very, very much. Okay, let us get to our learning. What makes a heroine? What makes a person who is able to rise up against the evil in society? What makes a person moral in a world of immorality? What makes a person choose life in a world of chaos and death? And there are a number of heroines who we meet in Parsha Shmos, some very fascinating and courageous biblical women who really turn the tide of Jewish history. And two of them meet thousands of years ago on the banks of the Nile River in a climactic moment when a baby is found floating in the river. And of course, I am referring to Bat Paro and her encounter with Miriam along the banks of the Nile River. What makes a hero and what makes a person at Tzadikus B'Yisrael, what makes a person able to have the courage to stand up when the world has gone mad? Miriam Peretz, she should live and be well, the Israeli woman who many of you may be familiar with, who is a bereaved mother twice over, Rachmana Litzlan, whose sons Uriel and Eli Raz were both killed in battle. Towards the end of her book, which is called Miriam's Song, I've recommended it many times. If you haven't read it, I continue to recommend it. I ordered mine on Amazon a bunch of years ago. I don't work for them. I just highly recommend that you read it. It's called Miriam's Song. And she says, every single day, the neighborhood post box and my email account are filled with letters from readers who recant how much, this is right at the end, like it's in the conclusion of the book, who recant how much my book has strengthened them. It's called Shirat Miriam. It's a play on words on Shirat Miriam that Miriam Hanaviah sang after she led the woman across the sea. And of course, her name is Miriam. Every day, every single day, the neighborhood post box and my email account are filled with letters from readers who recount how much my book has strengthened them and filled them with inspiration and faith. At first, I was surprised. Why my story? After all, there are people out there with much more powerful stories than mine. Eventually, I realized every person walks around with his life story percolating in his head. For years on end, he searches for a listening ear that will permit him to open up and share. Unintentionally, I have become an address for those who found it difficult to express their feelings. And they write to me, "You speak as if from within our very own hearts. We are coping with anger and pain in our own lives, and yet we see you continuing your life. We hear you speaking. It gives us strength. It proves that even out of great tragedy, we can go on. We can smile. I didn't choose this reality. It was forced upon me. But I admit there is something to the wide, warm embrace of the public. I didn't ask for this embrace, but I let it in. I allow it to come close and penetrate my soul. Usually it doesn't just end with a hug. The person standing before me wants me to bend my ear. They want me to hear the story of his life. And I hear things like, you're an inspiration. You're a hero. I pink, that's why I chose this excerpt. What is a hero? Who is a hero? How did Bob Paro have the courage to defy her own father and save the baby? And when I hear things like, you are an inspiration, you're a hero, I pinch myself at the arm. Look at me. Am I really a hero? I am flesh and blood, just like everyone else. In my own eyes, I am no hero at all. But if a hero is someone who chooses life, then yes, I have chosen life. If a hero is someone who continues to love the land of Israel, and Am Yisrael, the Jewish people, then yes, I love them. And if a hero is someone who wants to give and do good, then yes, I am a hero. This double death has strengthened me. My two graves have taught me to pursue values of giving and loving kindness, values of love for the land of Israel and the Bible. They may have made me sensitive to the individual, to every individual. Sometimes I place my hand on my heart and I wonder how that organ continues to function. Every knock on my door shrunk my heart. Every death notice shattered me to smithereens. But in the 5 years since Elyraz was killed, by the way, he was killed in 2010, so now it's 12 years, but when this was written, in the 5 years since Elyraz was killed, my heart has grown larger and wider. I should not have kept on living. From my point of view, it's a miracle I am still here. It's divine providence. It should not be taken for granted. Every day I thank God in heaven for continuing to believe in me and continuing to bless me with life. What makes a hero, says Miriam. In my eyes, I'm not a hero. But if a hero is someone who has chosen life, yes, I've chosen. If a hero is someone who continues to love Eretz Yisrael and Am Yisrael, then yes, I love them. And if a hero is someone who wants to give and do good, only good, then yes, I am a hero. Let us look at the great and courageous heroine, Bat Paro. So we meet her. She is what I have always called the first righteous Gentile. We also do not appreciate the time period in which Moshe was born. That's because we are too accustomed to the story of Avdus and Shibur Mitzrayim, and we don't appreciate what was really happening during that time. First of all, it's thousands of years away from us, and second of all, we're sort of like immune to the story and the details of the story and the lack of appreciation. It's really the blueprint and the template for all of our exiles. Things are good, the Jews flourish, they fill the land, Perak Al Pasuk Zion. All of a sudden, a new king arises, and is Chadesh Gzerosav, says Rashi. It begins with propaganda. He tells lies about the children of Israel to the rest of his people. Then there is financial oppression. Vayasimu alav sarei misim lomana noso b'sivlosam. So we start with propaganda. We move to financial oppression. Then we move to slave labor. Vayiven arei miskenos leparo es pisom v'esram. Says there's a very clear pattern to the subjugation of the umos ha'olam as laid out in the Chumash, which my grandparents saw, Rachmana Litzlan, in their time. Propaganda, financial oppression, slave labor, and ultimately infanticide. Okay, Perak Al Pasuk Tezvav, and Pharaoh calls to the midwives of the Hebrew. The name of one of them is Shifra, the name of the other is Puah. And he says, when you help the Jewish woman birth, and you see on the birthing stone, if it is a boy, he shall be put to death. If it is a girl, she shall live. His plan doesn't work. So finally, in Perak Al Pasuk Chav Beis, he commands his entire nation that any boy shall be thrown into the river. We also have to understand this is occurring over, not a period, like you read it in two psukim, so you think it happened for 5 minutes. Okay? The Parsha Shmos itself occurs over hundreds of years. There are hundreds of years. They were in Egypt for 210 years. The beginning of the Sedra tells us about when it's good, when Yaakov and his family came to Egypt. And it ends when Moshe's before Paro. So we're talking about a span of hundreds of years. And the Shibud either, there's different counts. I saw Seder Olam says 86 years. Art School based on Shevet Levi says 116 years. They were slaves. 86, 116. Let's average it out to 100 years. We're talking about an extremely long time. I have never been and I've never seen the exhibit of the shoes along the Danube. Maybe some of you have seen it, but this is what it reminds me of. They were throwing babies into the river. That's why it's such a miracle that Moshe survived. It makes a point of telling us that Moshe survived because many babies did not survive. They were being thrown into the river. They were being killed. There was a time of great oppression. Perek Beis Pasuk Chav Gimel tells us, Vayhi Bayamim Harabim Ahem, Bayamas Melech Mitzrayim, and Rashi tells us their low mate, Nitzdareya, Vahayashochet Tino Kol Verochet Tino Kol Yisrael Verochet Bedamam. Rashi tells us that during this terrible time, Pharaoh died, says the Pasuk. So Rashi says Pharaoh didn't die. He had Sara'as. He would shecht Jewish babies and bathe in their blood. So we definitely, myself included, do not appreciate the time period of Shibun Mitzrayim, and we do not appreciate the extent of what was happening in Shibun Mitzrayim. I'm skipping ahead for a minute because I'm going to hopefully get to this at the end. But just to give you an idea of what we're talking about, Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, later I hope to conclude with this piece, Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks says, instead of Pharaoh's daughter, read Hitler's daughter or Stalin's daughter and see what is at stake. So we do not, definitely do not, we eat a piece of celery or potato in some salty water because of the tears, who's really crying at the table, and we have some charoses, which is so delicious, so it's supposed to taste like mortar and bricks. I don't know if it reminds anybody, we say it, but we definitely lose the impact of the time period and of what was happening to Am Yisrael during this time. So let's look at the psukim and just try a little bit. If you think of what my grandparents went through in the Shoah, which I also have no inkling of what they went through, but we have read narratives, we have read biographies, we have read memoirs, we have seen documentaries and movies about this time. I traveled back to Poland. We've been to Yad Vashem. Shibun Mitzrayim was a horrific time in our national history, which we don't appreciate. So if we can just put it in that light, the story of Bas Parov has much more of an impact and significance. It's not just like, oh, some princess bathing by the river. It's a time of shmat. It's a horrific time of murder, of infanticide, of slave labor, of demeaning and dehumanizing the Jewish nation. Okay, even though they weren't Jews yet, B'nai Yisrael. So Vayelech Ish mi Beis Levi, I'm in Perek Beis Pasuk Aleph. Vayelech Ish mi Beis Levi, Vayikach es Bas Levi. A man from the house of Levi went and he took the daughter of Levi. Vatahara Isha Vatele Bein, and the woman became pregnant and she gave birth to Asan. Vatere Oso Kitovu, she saw that the child was good. Vatitzbineo Shalosha Yerachim, she hid him for 3 months. I had a far drive yesterday. I had to be in Plainview to be Menachem Avah. I didn't realize how far Plainview is. So I had some time in the car. So I was listening to a shir by Rabbi Zev Lef, and I heard him say something interesting, which on these words, kitovu. So what does kitovu mean? So Rashi says, nismala habayis kula ora. How did she know he was special? Because the whole house was filled with light. But Rabbi Zev Lef pointed out something very interesting. And then, vatitzbineo shalosha yirachim, she hides him for 3 months. Okay. So Rabbi Zev, we know he was born 3 months early, Rashi tells us, because the Egyptians took a careful count of when the child was due, because when they calculated the woman's due date, they were going to come kidnap the baby and kill the child. So she had to hide him. So why was she allowed to hide the baby and put everyone else in the house at risk? Are you allowed to do that? So he pointed out that if a child is 3 months early, even today, he said, with modern medicine, very often a child who's 3 months early is so early that the baby will not survive. So why was she, now, if it's certain that the child will survive, certain, nothing's certain, everything's up to God. But if you're talking about a full-term baby who has a high chance of survival, then pikuach nefesh is dochal kol, so she's allowed to put everyone else at the house at risk to hide the child. There's her, Amram, Miriam, and Aaron. But why was she allowed to hide the child and put everyone else at the house? What about their pikuach nefesh? For a non-viable child anyways. I'm talking about a child who's 3 months early. Now, this is in the days when they had, whatever they'd be named, LIJ. My boys were in the NICU. They were 30 weekers, okay? What's it called today? Schneider's Children's Hospital? When they have the most advanced medicine and the best equipment. You're talking about primitive Egypt. I mean, they were advanced, but they did have incubators and doctors and IV drip lines and surgeries and medicines and nurses to save the baby. So if the child is not viable, what gives her the right to put everyone else at risk? How did she know she could save the child at the cost of everyone else's life? It's such an interesting kasha. 3 months old, thousands of years ago. How does this work? How is she allowed to save the baby? Rabbi Zaslav explained, what does Kitov mean? He quoted a Ramban, which I'm familiar with, to explain, based on Sefer Bereishis. Okay? When Hashem created the world, okay? So the Pesukim say, Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or, Vayehi Or, that's the first thing Hashem created, Vayar Elokim Yisar Kitov. The Ramban explains, when Hashem says Vayomer, it's a famous Ramban, the Rav Salvechik speaks about this Ramban, and I've taught it inside before. When the Ramban says, Vayomer Elokim Hashem created, Vayar Elokim is Hashem sustained. It's not enough for Hashem to create the world. It's not like, you know, an artist makes a clay vase and then he leaves the vase and the vase is going to sustain itself. This world needs to constantly be recreated and upheld by God. So it's not enough that Hashem said, let there be light. Hashem needs to sustain the light. It's not enough that Hashem said, let there be fish and trees and, you know, heavenly bodies and water. Hashem needs to sustain. If Hashem's divine intervention was not sustaining the world, the whole world would implode. So every stage of Ma'aseh Bereishis, if you look in the Pesukim, you'll see, Vayomer Elokim, Vayar Elokim. Vayomer Elokim is God created. Vayar Elokim, this is the Ramban, famous Ramban. Vayar Elokim, he sustained. Okay? Hashem needs to sustain what he has created. That's why we're all here. That's why you say Moda Ani every morning, because Hashem is sustaining us in his goodness. So therefore, back to Ma'aseh Bereishis, which is how Chazal connect Kitov. It says Kitov here. It says Kitov by the first light. It must be the house was filled with light. Rabbi Zev left Darshan something else. Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or Vayehi Or. God said, let there be light, and there was light, and there was light. Vayar Elokim Esar Kitov. God saw the light and it was good. It means he's sustaining what he has created. So Vayar Kitov means Hashem is sustaining. It says Kitov by every day of creation except day two, different shir. But Kitov means Hashem sees it's good. Hashem is, what did I say? Sustaining his creation. It means sustenance. It means continuity. It means the ability to continue to exist. Viability. Ah! So what did So what did Yocheved see? There's actually three heroines in this passage, not two. One is Yocheved, one is Miriam, and one is Bas Paro. So what did she see? Vatereyoso ki tovu means she realized that the baby was exactly right. The baby was viable. He would be sustained. He would continue to exist. Therefore, she's allowed to put out. So it's a very interesting line of reasoning. It's a good kasha. Why you had to save a three-month-old premature baby thousands of years ago in Egypt to put the other four people in the house at risk? Because they are viable. And the child, 3 months old, even today, a three-month-old baby born premature without being in a hospital today, the chances of that child surviving, Hashem doesn't go according to chances. The chances of the child surviving today are what? Slim to none. If the child does not receive divine intervention, born at that age. Batere oso ki tov hu. That means she sees that the child is sustainable, is viable. Therefore, which is unusual, it's a nace. That's the nace. That he was, it's so interesting. I never thought of this in my life. Therefore, she's allowed to hide him. When she sees that, this is from Rabbi Zaslav, when she sees he's able to be sustained, he will continue, he will live and survive. Therefore, Vatitzbineu Shalosha Yerachim. Therefore, she's able to hide him for 3 months. Velo Yachla Od Hatzbino. She can no longer hide him because now the Mitzri police, right, the Gestapo, know that her time is up to have a baby. Rabbi Ephraim Oshri, In his Annihilation of Lithuanian Jewry, he writes of a bris that was being carried out in, it wasn't the Warsaw ghetto, I forget which ghetto, the Kovna ghetto, thank you. So there was a clandestine bris being done, and the only people present at the bris were the mother of the baby, the Mayo, the baby, and a lookout. And the lookout said the Gestapo's coming, and the Mayo froze. And the mother said, perform the bris. At least if he's going to die, let him die a Jew. So 3 months are up. So the Gestapo are coming. And I'm not trying to be overly dramatic. I'm trying to point out, like Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks says, substitute instead of Pharaoh's daughter, Hitler's daughter. Substitute Stalin's daughter. Just to give us some idea of which we still can't imagine what we're really talking about here. She can no longer hide him. She takes a little teva. And she coats it in tar and in pitch, and she puts the child in it. She puts it in the reeds by the shore of the river. And the sister, Pasuk Dalet, Vatei Satsava Choso Merechok Leda Mayaselo. And now we have the sister who's standing from afar to see what would be done to him. So she herself, the mother's a heroine. The sister's clearly the heroine, and so is Bas Paro. So the princess goes down to bathe by the river, and her maidens are going by the shore of the river, and she sees this little teva in the middle of the reeds, and she sends forth her arm or her maiden, and she takes it, and she opens it, and she sees the yelad. Vihine nar bocha, behold, the lad is crying. Baal Terem says, Vina nar bocha is Aaron, by the way. I don't know, I think it's famous Baal Terem. Famous for me, I don't know. Atiftach vatir eyo et hayalad. She opens a basket and she sees the child. So then what's vihine nar bocha? Why is it called yalad and na'ar? Is it a yalad or a nar? Yalad is younger. Nar indicates a child a little bit older. So there's someone else. The Baal Terem says vihine nar bocha. Aaron was also there. And nar bocha refers to Aaron, who is crying as he is witnessing the scene. Vatachmal alav, and she has mercy upon him. She is definitely the first righteous Gentile. Vatomer miyaldehi Hebrews, and right away she says, this child is from the Hebrews. I want to point out something very interesting, not Aaron. Rav Soloveitchik points out something very interesting. The only masculine appearance in this whole parsha so far that I'm reading to you is the very first word. Did anyone read my Rinz Vartaria today? It's nice, yeah? Thank you. Vayerech. Why are you laughing? It was nice. It wasn't my own insight, so I could say that. Vayerech. Vayikach. Only the first pasuk talks about actions being done by a man. Look at the whole rest of the passage. Vatahar ha'isha. Vateled. Vatevi, vatitzpinehu, velo yachla, hatzpino, vatikach, vatasem, vo aisayalad, vatasem basuf, vateisatzav achoso, leida'a, vatevi ba paro, vatishach as amasa, vatikache, vatiftach, vatireu. What do you notice? Vatachmol. What do you notice? It's all lashon nekeva. It's all about women. Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, the Rav Zatzal, points out, it is interesting to note that all the verbs used in describing the hiding of Moshe, I'm going to even go back, the birth of Moshe, the hiding of Moshe, being placed in the basket, Bas Paro finding the child, are all in the feminine form, says the Rav. Vatere, vatitzpinehu, Yachla vatikach vatachmera vatasem. But it continues. He doesn't quote about Bas Paro, but the narrative continues in Lashon Nekeva. Vatiftach, she, Bas Paro, opens up. Vatireu, she sees the child. Vatachmol, she has mercy. Vatomer, she declares. And then the sister, Vatomer achoso. Vatomer la Bas Paro. Vatelecha alma. Vatikras em hayalan. The entire passage focuses on what? Lashon Nekeva, the action of these three women. Men are virtually absent from the passage. Says Rav Soloveitchik, it is interesting to note that all the verbs used in describing the hiding of Moshe and later being placed in the basket are all in the feminine form. Everything was done by Yocheved and Miriam, but I'm adding in Ambas Paro. 10 psukim here. There's only one pasuk, the first one, that talks about what we know as Amram. Entire rest of the passage, remember, you have to be so careful when we learn Chumash. Every word, every letter, every form, every shoresh comes to teach us something. There's such an emphasis here on these women who are working together to save this child. Amram had no say in the matter. Says the Rav, the leadership was taken away from him and given to the righteous midwives. God made Yocheved and Miriam the leaders. Decision-making was taken from Amram and turned over to these women. And it's extremely interesting just to notice the lashon of the psukim and how female Nekeva focused this is. So where are we up to, Pasuk Vav? Atiftach v'tireu es hayalad. She opens it and she sees the child. V'hine nar bocha. We quoted the Baal Terem. V'tachmol alav. She immediately has mercy. Now she could have done one of two things. Had mercy or turned the basket over and dumped the child to drown into the river like hundreds of other babies of the Bnei Israel. But Tomer Miyal Deha Ivrim says, she knows immediately that this is a Hebrew child. But Tomer Achoso El Baparo, and the sister says, his sister says to the princess, should I go and I should call for you a nursemaid, a wet nurse from the Hebrews, and she will nurse for you the child. But Tomer La Baparo Lechi, and Baparo says, yes, you should go. But Teilecha Alma Vatikrat Ema Yelad. So this young wise girl goes, and she calls the mother of the child, and Basparo says, take what is yours, Nisnaba Velo Yadamasha Nispa, Hey Lechi is Hey Shalechi, take what is yours. Unknowingly, she prophesied that the child belonged to this woman, the Heinika Li, a nurse for me. By the way, I saw when I was preparing this year in Medrash Rabbah, Medrash Shemos Rabbah, that she nursed him for 24 months. I'm just pointing out how long. It's funny, because earlier in the week I was doing someone, I always thought it was about 2.5-3 years, because we know that they used to nurse much longer than we nurse today. I know there are exceptions, but Bedarach Klal, but Medrash Exodus Rabbah says that she nursed him for 24 months. And even Bas Par says, V'ani etein esicharech, I will give you your reward, I'll pay your wages. V'atikach isha yelad v'atinekev, so much lashon nekeva. The three brave heroines, if a hero means to choose life, then I have chosen. If a hero means to do good and loving kindness, then I am a hero. And she nurses the child. Vayigdal hayalad. It's the first Lashon Zachar that we see since Amram. Amazing. Vayigdal hayalad. Vativier leBaparo. The child grows up and she brings him to Baparo. And he was to her son. And she calls his name Nosha. And she says, Ki min hamayim mishisihu, because from the water I drew him. I want to quote the pshat of Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch. Very interesting commentary and some chidushim to this passage that we are seeing. So Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch says, going back to the beginning of the passage, okay, Vateri bat Paro pasukei, and the daughter of Paro went down lirchotz al hayor, to bathe upon the river. So Rav Hirsch says, al hayor means at the side of the river where it was not too deep. It could also mean the upper part of the river, as in the upper Nile, where the waters of the Nile were not yet muddy with the dirt of the town. Or perhaps the mother had intentionally placed the baby there because it was cleaner and it was an area for bathing, so she thought that someone might come here, so it's strategically placed. In other words, he's saying the mother didn't just go down to some random place by the water and place the baby in the reed. She chose the upper Nile where the water was still clean. Perhaps it was an area reserved for women's bathing. And from mothers, the mother expected greater pity. You know, they say if your child... I remember I used to tell my kids when I were younger, we were just talking about it the other week. I think I told it to you here the other week. You tell the kids when you're younger, if you get lost, the first person you should look for to help you is a young mother with children. No, it's not a joke, really. That's what they say. If your child separates from you, like, I don't know, you're in Penn Station or something, oy vavai, lo, they knew that your child should get lost from you there. But if the child gets lost, who should they go over to for help and say, I'm lost? Before the police. Sorry. Who should they go over to? A young mother with children, a mother with young children. So it's interesting. Rav Hirsch says that perhaps this was an area reserved for women's bathing, and from mothers, the mother of the child expected greater pity. So in thousands of years, we have the same insight into the pity of a mother. It's interesting, of course, that the mother's womb is called a rechem, which is very obvious. The word is rachamim. Because from the mother's womb emanates the greatest mercy after the mercy of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Her attendants, the Pasuk says, V'naro seho chol al yad hayor. Now, Hirsch is very makbid to pay attention to the language. It says about Bat Paro, she is al hayor. But when it comes to Naro Seh, it says there ho chol al yad hayor. She is al hayor, there al yad. It's not the same thing. Every word in Chumash teaches you something else. Her maidens kept to the bank while she was in the river. Here we have a beautiful revelation. He points another midah of Bat Paro, modesty. She wasn't bathing directly in front of her attendants. The princess takes only a single maiden with her, perhaps for protection. She does not want the ladies in waiting to be with her while she was bathing. Why does he learn that out? Because she's al hayar. And they are al yad hayar, which means there must be a distance between them and her. She is one maiden with her. Maybe it's for safety. Maybe it's a law that the princess is never allowed to be alone. But she doesn't need a whole entourage watching her while she is bathing. I have heard says that this indicates she is a modest woman. Furthermore, Vatiftach Vatir'eu et hayalad. So I know I told you the Baal term, but Elu ve'elu. The pshat is not what the Baal term says. The pshat is that she opens it and baby Moshe's crying. Okay? So Pasuk Vav tells us Vatiftach, and also I'm going to stress it again. The Lashon Nekeva, this entire passage is just fascinating. It's really stressing. The Torah is stressing what great heroines these women were. We know Sota Yeralof Beis, I believe, because Nashim Tzikonius, but also Dor Negala Yisrael Mimitzrayim. The women in Egypt were the ones who effected redemption and who ensured that the men did not give up hope. And it is in their merit that the redemption and the Redeemer was born. Vatiftach vatir'ehu et hayalad. Says Rav Shamsher Fall Hirsch. Now what Rav Hirsch is pointing out is she didn't know initially that there was a baby. She just sees something covered floating. Maybe she found a treasure chest. Maybe she found 100 gold coins. Maybe she found papyrus paper. Maybe she found hieroglyphics. Maybe someone lost their lunch in the river on the way to Cheder. It only says Vatere et hateva betoch hasuf. We don't, teva means box. We don't know what was in the box. You all know the end of the story, so it's hard to be critical when you're reading the psukim. But it just says that she sees a little box in the middle of the reeds. She sends forth her hand or her maiden and she takes it. Only once Vatiftach. First Vatiftach. She doesn't know what's going to be in there. Maybe it's a box of chocolate. Maybe it's candy. Only when she opens it, only then does she discover what is inside. So it's not like she's a righteous Gentile from the beginning. We have to understand, based on the Lashon, she does not know actually what's in the box. Only when she opened the little chest did she discover its contents. The implication is the baby, of her says something very smart, obviously he's brilliant. The implication from the verses is the baby had not been crying. Only when she opens it are we told the baby's crying. Do you understand? She could have been alerted to, there's a sound by the river. What am I hearing? That's not what it says. It says she opens it and she discovers the contents. And then the baby starts crying. The implication is the baby had not been crying. It's similar to the Ramban, Nachmanides, and Parsha Shmini. After the deaths of Nadav and Avihu. So the Pasuk tells us, Vayudom, very famous, Vayudom Aaron. So Aaron was a human being because all our Avos and Imaos and great leaders were human beings. Did Aaron not cry? So if you look at the Ramban there, you will see the Ramban says, Haya bocheh bakol. He was crying. When Moshe spoke to him, the Ramban says, you're not allowed to mourn. He stopped crying. Here it's the opposite. The child was not crying. When she opened it, maybe it got cold, right? Maybe he looks up and he sees a strange face. He's already 3 months old. There's strange anxiety by that age. They recognize their mother. When she opens it and he sees this stranger, only then does he start crying. Says Rav Shamsher Fall Hirsch, what a good child. Ki tovu. And in such circumstances, in these nuances of character, we can already glimpse the qualities that destined him to be a Nav Ma'od. Quiet, patience, unpretentious. He was not crying despite the situation of what his mother had put him into. And when she opens it, Vatereu et hayalad, she sees the child. First she saw a baby, and only then did the baby begin to cry. Now, a yelling infant is not beautiful, says Rav Hirsch. Quote, a yelling infant is not beautiful and does not win your heart with his charm. And especially if it's not what? What? Not the mother. If it's the mother, so you might be exhausted and you might, you know, feel at your wit's end, but it's your child. But this is not her baby. The baby's screaming in her face and the father made a law. Why would she save the child? The good part of, you know, it not being your baby is that you get to enjoy the cuteness. And when the child starts crying, what do? You go straight back to the mother and say, here it is. I don't want to deal with this part. Dirty diaper here. Burping, spitting up here. Crying, hysterical here. She opens it up. A yelling infant is not beautiful and does not win your heart with charm, says Rav Shamsher Fall Hirsch, and yet his salvation depended on such charm. It was the first impression of the child peacefully looking up at her that won her heart. First, Vatiftach Vatir'eu et hayalad, after he won her heart with his charm. You see how careful you have to be when you look at the lashon of the psukim. Only then, v'hine nar bocha. The sight of a strange face will make a child cry, says Rav Sham Sharvarish. This is especially true in our case. This is interesting, where the physiognomy. I'll just tell you what he's saying. Where the physiognomy, I don't know how you pronounce it, of an Egyptian woman was unfamiliar to the child. So what he's saying is that surely this Egyptian woman looked very different than his own mother. He says that. While in hiding, he was familiar only with the Semitic appearance of his Hebrew parents and family. So he says just visually, there are character traits. You know how people from different regions look different. They just do. That's a fact of how Hashem created us. We don't all look the same. Even though human beings all have the same feature, we have different appearances. So he says certainly the child was startled by the Egyptian appearance of this woman because he was unfamiliar with it. He was only familiar with the Semitic appearance of his Hebrew parents and his family. Says Rav Sham Sharvarish, I want to tell you a little more. She then says, Mialdei ha'ivrimzeh. She knows he's Hebrew, and the girl, Miriam, says, should I fetch you a Hebrew nursemaid, min ha'ivrios? Considering the artificial enmity sown by Pharaoh between the Egyptians and the Hebrews, considering the artificial hatred, enmity, between the Egyptians and the Hebrews, sown by Pharaoh, remember I told you that the descent begins with, what did I say was the first thing? Propaganda. Vayomer paro el amo. Hine am b'nei Yisrael. Rava. Tzumi menu havanis. Chak melo pen. Yerbeva ala min ha'aretz. They're going to kick us out of our own land. Considering the artificial enmity sown by Pharaoh between the Egyptians and the Hebrews, one could hardly have any confidence in entrusting the child to an Egyptian wet nurse. So we always understand, and Chazal tell us, that the reason she had to fetch a Hebrew wet nurse is because the baby who was destined to talk to the Shekhinah would not nurse from an Egyptian. But I've heard she says something else just very practical. Who in their right mind would entrust a Hebrew baby to the Nazis, to the Lithuanians, to the Poles? Why would you do that? They're in the middle of killing us. Do you really think that these people are going to save this child? And therefore, there's something deeper going on here, which Bas Paro, with her chemla, and Miriam, with her intuition and insight, understand, quote, one could hardly have any confidence in entrusting the child to an Egyptian wender. So just practically, if you give the baby to an Egyptian, and there's a price tag on every Jewish head, they'll be richly rewarded for going to Pharaoh's officers and saying, look what we found, I don't know, here's 10,000 German Reichmarks for what you did, and the baby will be thrown into the river. Therefore, they between themselves plot to get a wetness from the Hebrew, which will further ensure the survival and safety of the child. Hey lechi, so Bas Paro says to her, hey lechi, take what is yours. Bas Paro says, Rav Hirsch is saying, do all that is required so that the child get out of this place and this situation, which is so dangerous to him. If he could understand the situation and could walk, he would hurry away from here on his own. Hey lechi, take him quickly. Any child floating in the river, and we know the Gemara tells us Moshe was born circumcised. The Medrash Rabbah, I also saw it in the Medrash. Medrash Rabbah also tells us he was born circumcised. Anyone who finds him, get him away as quickly as possible. Get off of the streets. It's past the curfew. We shouldn't be out here. Anyone who sees us talking will know we must be negotiating over the survival of a Jewish child. If anyone, another book, oh my gosh, Irina's Children, it's on my website as recommended reading. I forget who the author is. It's not a Jewish publication. I read it about Irina Sandler. It's absolutely incredible. It's on my website. I have a page called Recommended Reading. The book is there, and the author, I forgot his name, it's absolutely incredible. She was such a righteous Gentile, and she smuggled in her toolbox Jewish babies out of the ghetto and saved them. Bas Paro is really the prototype for all of these women. One more insight from Rav Sham Sharval Hirsch, and that is in regard to the name Moshe. So in Perek Beis Pasuk Yod, okay, the final Pasuk here in this chapter of the life, the early life of Moshe Rabbeinu. So it's Bas Paro who names him. Vayigdal Hayalad, Vativieu Leba Paro, okay, the child grows up, which is the first appearance of Lashon Zachar, and he is brought to Bas Paro, he is to her a child, and she names him Moshe. It's she who names him. We famously know, why is he called Moshe? Everybody knows. What is the implication of this name, Kimina Mayim Mishisihu? Excuse me. Says Rav Sham Sherfal Hirsch, to draw with effort out of the water, to draw up. Likewise, mashach, like to pull, libshoach, denotes artificial separation from any liquid. So it's separating the child from the liquid. She did not name him Mashui, one who is drawn out of the water, but Moshe, one who delivers. Rav Hirsch says Moshe means one who delivers from the water. This may indicate the direction of education the princess gave her foster son and the deep impression she made on him from early childhood. The name means to say, and by giving him this name, she meant to say, as long as he lives, he must never forget he was thrown into the water and that I drew him out of it. Why? For this reason, he should always be soft-hearted and attentive to the suffering of others. His name should remind him of his initial circumstances. It's not so much a reflection of what she did, it's a lesson to the child himself. For as long as you live, you should remember, I drew you out of the water. You were at great risk of drowning and of death. I had compassion on you. I saved you. He should always be soft-hearted, says Rav Hirsch. He should always be attentive to the suffering of others. He should be ready at all times to be a Moshe, a deliverer of assistance in the time of trouble. Furthermore, his Hebrew name is to make him conscious of his origin. So it's an educational lesson that she wanted the child never to forget. I drew you out of a troubling time. I delivered you from the water. She wants him to carry this name with him forever, that he would be a deliverer of salvation and redemption. And that was what he did his whole life. His whole life, he was delivering the people from their troubles and travails. He does say that the princess must have consulted with the mother on how to express this idea in Hebrew. He says that the name is not Egyptian, it is a Lashon HaKodesh name, and he says that the princess must have consulted with the nursemaid, in other words, Moshe's mother. Otherwise, she would have given him an Egyptian name. And all of this, quote, and I started this year by saying, what defines a hero? So after we learned Rav Hirsch, in all of this, we can recognize the noble, humane character of Moshe's Savior. The noble, humane character of Moshe's Savior. Furthermore, in regard to his name, the Medrash tells us, Medrash Shemos Rabba, Parsha Aleph, Simen Chof Vav, that Tikra Shemo Moshe, she called his name Moshe. So we already saw what Rav Hirsch has to say on Vatikra Shemo Moshe. Okay? The Medrash says as follows. Vatikra Shemo Moshe, Mikan ato lamed scharo shel gomlei chasadim. From here you learn the reward of one who does an act of loving kindness, of a gomelas chasad. Af al pi shahar be shemos hayulo lemoshe. Even though Moshe had many names, you could Google them, by the way. It's very easy. Just Google Moshe's 10 names Chabad, and you'll find it. Okay. Tov, Tuvia, I don't remember the other ones. It's very easy to find. Afal Pisha, Harbi, Shemus. Also remember, his mother, first of all, hid him for 3 months. So certainly he had a name. And then Medrash Rabba tells us she nursed him for 24 months. So they called him something. He was with his parents, his birth parents, for 2 years. What was his other name? Why doesn't the Torah even record his other name? He had another name. So says the Medrash, Medrash Shemos Rabba, Parsha Aleph Simen Chafav, Vatikra Shema Moshe Mikan Ata Lomeid Scharan Shal Gom Lechasadim. Afal Pisha Harbe Shemos Hayu Lo Lemoshe. Moshe had a lot of names. Lo Nikba Lo Shem B'chol HaTorah. Ella Kemosha Karatu Batya Basparo. He had a lot of names, but the Torah does not record even one other name. There's no other name recorded in the entire Torah, B'chol Torah, except the name that Batya, we only know from Divrei Yamin that her name is Batya. Kemosha Karo Batya Basparo. V'af HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lo Karo B'Shem Acher. Even HaKadosh Baruch Hu never called him a different name, as an ode to the righteousness of this heroic Savior, Bas Paro, as a kavod to her. The name that she gave the child is the only name. It's interesting, because many biblical personalities have multiple names. Avram, Avraham. Sarai, Sarah. We know Yiska. We know all three of her names. We have Esav, Lahavdil, but Esav is also Edom. And we have Yaakov and Yisrael, obviously. And we have Yosef and Sfanas Pa'aneach. We have Hosea and Yehoshua. Many of the biblical characters do have multiple names. And Moshe, we know, had other names. And even if the Medrash would not bring down the 10, his parents didn't call him nothing for 24 months. They called him something. But from here you learn the reward of those who are gomlei chasadim. I'm just going to read the Medrash. It's very short. It's one sentence without interrupting it, because I read it to you already with the translation, just the lashon without interruption. Matikashmo Moshe. Mikan ata lo mit scharn shel gomlei chasadim. Afo pisha harbe shemos. Hayu lo lemosha lo nikba lo shem b'chol haTorah, ela kemosha karatu batya bas paro va'afakosh baruchu lo karal b'shem acher. Look at the tremendous power of Gemilas Chasadim, the tremendous schar that was earned for bas paro for what she did on behalf of this child. I now want to quote insights from Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, the Rav Zatzal, in his comment to this pass, in his commentary to this passage. So the first one we already pointed out, which I find fascinating, that this is really a passage which focuses on the courage and the strength, the tenacity and the amuna of women. This is such a fundamental moment in our history. Will Moshe be born or will Moshe drown? Will Moshe be saved or will he die? Will the Redeemer come or will be stuck in Egypt forever? And it is because of these three women that he was saved. Obviously, it's because of Hashem when I say that, but they are the three shlichim who ensured that Moshe Rabbeinu would not drown. So the first we already said, and in the words of the Rav, God made Yocheved and Miriam the leaders at this moment. Decision-making was taken away from Amram, and it was turned over to these women. It says the Rav, V'teitzatzav achoso meirachok ladam maya aselo. His sister stood from afar. So I'll tell you, there's many midrashim and interpretations. One is that every word of this pasuk refers to the Shechina. The Gemara says that every word of this pasuk refers to the Shechina, and the Gemara brings a proof where the Shechina is called standing. The Gemara brings a proof where the Shechina is called achoso. The Gemara brings a proof where God is from afar. So one way to understand this is that even though it was a time of Hester Panim, which Egypt was, we know that, Hester Panim, the beginning, and when Moshe is at the Snetz, Gilu Shechina, even though it was a time of Hester Panim, the Ribbono Shel Olam was always there. Hidden, enigmatic, not apparent, but he is there. Another thing the Gemara tells us is that she stood from afar to see what would happen to her promise. She told, this is also in Sota, Yud Aleph through Yud Beis, she told her father famously, get remarried. Why did you divorce mother? So father remarries, the baby's born, and now they have to put the baby in the river. So her father gives her a little patch on her head, that's what the Gemara says, or on her cheek. And her father says, what happened to your nevuah, my daughter? You said the Savior will be born, and now we have to dump him in the river. So she stood from afar to see what would happen to the nevuah, says the Gemara. Says Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, the Rav Zatzal. Amram and Yocheved, he says something very drastic. Amram and Yocheved had given up on the fate of their child. Miriam, however, intuitively felt, because who's standing from afar? It doesn't say that the mother stands from afar. The mother makes the basket and puts him in the river and, I don't know, goes home to say Tehillim. But who goes to stand by the river? The sister, not the mother. Miriam, however, intuitively felt that a strange and awesome drama was unfolding before her eyes, says the Rav. She was not merely watching a floating basket of reeds down the Nile River. She was observing Jewish historical destiny. Miriam intuitively felt that what I am seeing here is not only about one family. It's not only about my baby brother. It's not only about one baby out of millions of Hebrews. I am watching the story of Jewish destiny unfolding. Imagine if we all somehow saw our lives as having a great part in the unfolding of Jewish destiny. That everything that we do and how we affect other people, and hopefully the Kiddush Hashem we make, somehow affects other people and helps move Jewish destiny along. Imagine if we saw ourselves as fundamental key players instead of standing on the sidelines. I actually heard many years ago, my friend Adina Penner's here, a shiur from Rabbi Penner, it was a long time ago, but he points out that the two Kriyas HaTorah for Rosh Hashanah are really the same story. One is Avram going to the Akedah, and the other is Hagar straying with her child. Wait, the first Kriyas HaTorah, are they both Kriyas HaTorah for Rosh Hashanah? One second. The first time she sent away is in Perek Tes Zayin, but in Perek Tes Zayin, Yishmael is not born yet. Yeah, it's in Perek Chof Aleph, yes. The Vayigmal Yitzchak, and they made him a big mishter, Vayam Higamal Yitzchak Beno, and then Sarah says, Garesh Yosama Azos Ves Beno. Perek Chof Aleph is read, and Hagar sent away with her child, yes. Vayishma Klimas Kol Anar, Basher Husham, and the second day we read the Akedah. So Rabbi Penner said that they're really the same story. They're both a story about a parent taking their child on a journey where the parent believes the child is about to die. Hagar is taking her child on a journey in the desert and thinks the child is going to die. And Avram is taking the child on a journey for 3 days to some mountain in the wilderness. Israel wasn't built up like it is today, Eretz Yisrael, and thinks that he's taking the child to die. What's the difference? Avram knows that he's in, I heard this year so many years ago. Avram knows that he's in the, and I haven't reviewed it since, but it's such an idea that stuck in my head. Avram knew he was in the spotlight and Hagar didn't. Avram knew he was part of Jewish destiny and Hagar thinks she's just one woman walking with a child and nobody cares and nobody's recording. She threw the child, tachas achar sichim, and she said, al terei b'mos hayalad. She gave up on the child. Whereas Avram never gave up. Vayelchu shneim yachdav, b'leiv shava, says Rashi. That's the difference, knowing that God is watching you or not watching you. Imagine if we all knew that everything we do is being watched by God. We're always in the spotlight. We are all part of Jewish historical destiny. And the Rav proposes that Amram and Yocheved had given up on the fate of the child. Miriam, however, intuitively felt that a strange and awesome drama was unfolding before her eyes. She was not merely watching a floating reed basket. She was observing Jewish historical destiny. Would the promises made to Avram be fulfilled? What were the promises to Avram? Your children will be strangers in a strange land, but after? Or would God forbid the floating ark filled with the fate and destiny of an unborn nation collapse into the water? Miriam stood from afar, Merachok, trying to see how her actions would lead to events that would ultimately lead to the redemption. Rav Soloveitchik further says, Vatarehu atayalad, Shibas Paro saw the child. What did she see? According to Rashi, the pronoun suggests that Paro's daughter saw something other than the child. She saw the divine presence beside him. And this is also, you know, when we look at a person, Kibitzalam Alokim Asa Esha Adam. Sometimes we don't see when a person annoys us, maybe not you, but sometimes me, I don't say it, but sometimes you think it, maybe not you, it's possible. When a person does something we don't agree with, sometimes we fail to see the divine presence in that person standing there. Maybe it's hidden deep within, like the child was hidden in a basket, she had to open it up. But the Shekhinah is always there. Bas Paro saw something other than the child. She saw the divine presence. Indeed, she was Pharaoh's daughter, but she was not influenced by him. Imagine her courage. What did Rabbi Sachs say? Imagine that she's Hitler's daughter or Stalin's daughter. We just flip these words around. Bas Paro saved him. She came from the palace. The law in the palace was kill the baby boys. It's her own father she is defying. It's the hashkafa she grew up with in her home. She's been hearing this for decades, that the baby's going to the river. Who can imagine the courage it took to stand up against that edict. Not even the courage. The intelligence and logical thinking. How was she not brainwashed? I'm being serious. You grow up with the law for decades. How old she was? I don't know how old she was. However old she was, all she's hearing is it becomes a fact of nature. And the baby, Jewish baby boys are born, we throw them into the river. And she was able to think outside the box. For those who were in Shari last night, she was able to rework her brain pathways to think differently than the accepted norm. She apparently had the rare ability to perceive signs of greatness at first glance. The earlier Pharaoh, who had appointed Joseph as prime minister, so Shaila is at the same Pharaoh, a different Pharaoh, but by this point in the narrative, it's definitely a different Pharaoh. Remember, we're hundreds of years later. The first Pharaoh who had appointed Joseph as prime minister had the same ability. When Pharaoh's daughter opened the box, she saw the divine presence alongside the baby. She sensed the great potential of Moshe. She immediately questioned her father's motives. How could we condemn the child? How could we call him subhuman? Which is exactly what the Nazis did. How were they able to convince an entire nation, not only the Germans and the Lithuanians and the Poles? Was it Latvia? There was a book, a biography, the Latvians? I don't know. I could be wrong. I don't remember what the book is called. I couldn't even read it. I read the first couple of chapters. I said to my husband, I said, I cannot read this book. I cannot. The Mossad went on hunt. He was one of the most notorious killers. He wasn't a German. I forgot which country it was. I forgot what the book is called. I couldn't read it. I read a couple of chapters. I had to stop. How were the Germans able to convince so many people that the Jews were so subhuman? Pharaoh was shechting Jewish babies and bathing in their blood. He would drain the baby's blood into the bathtub, and then he would go take a bath. If we didn't have Nazi Germany as reference, you might think that Rashi is hyperbole. It's exaggeration. It's a metaphor. It can't really be that he bathed in Jewish blood. But we know that when it comes to the Ummah Sa'olam, nothing is beyond them. It is not an exaggeration. It's not metaphysical. It actually happened. And this woman, this Bas Paro, realized that how could we call this child subhuman? Key words, that's what they do. They make the Jews out to be vermin, poison, rats. She refused to comply with her father's decree. The Pasuk says, Vihine na'ar bocha. The salvation is so beautiful. I know what the Baal term says, but I remember what Shamshon Falhurst says. The boy only started crying after he stole her heart. He wasn't crying first. Then she saw him, she fell in love with him, and only after does he cry. Salvechik, however, takes a different approach. He says the wail of the child pierced the air on the bank of the Nile River. The wail of the child pierced the air on the bank of the river. This was not to be Moses' only cry. Every time Moshe fell in supplication before God, the cry of Moshe as a child was heard. This first cry of Moshe is a foreshadowing of his whole life. What does he do his entire career? Really, what does he do his whole career? He davens for the people. A kol Yaakov. He is constantly davening for Knesset Yisrael. He is constantly crying for Am Yisrael. To the point where he says, erase me if you will erase them. Where am I up to? This was not to be Moshe's only cry. Every time he fell in supplication before God, the cry of the child was heard. Who other than a child can fall completely in supplication before a father? To throw one's burden upon him. To lift up his eyes to his father alone. He has other pieces where he speaks about the faith of the child, the innocence of the child, the trust of the child. Here he speaks of the cry of a child. Before the person becomes older and cynical and pessimistic and sees different things in the world, the cry of the child is such a pure cry. It's such an outcry of pain, with such innocence, without being tainted by any sin. The cry of Moshe on the banks of the river would be the cry of Moshe his entire life. The adult cannot pour out his soul, says the Rav, with such absence of inhibition. child's not embarrassed, their nose is running, they're screaming, you're saying, oh my God, we're in the supermarket, maybe could you wait till we get home, does everyone have to see, do we have to make such a scene? When they're in pain, and could be mine, or they want the lolly, and you said no, I don't know, whatever. But when they're going to cry, they're going to cry, without any inhibition. They want everyone to know how upset they are. They don't take societal concerns into consideration. If you've ever seen the kid having a tantrum, whether they're correct or not correct, according to human adult logic, they're in pain, so they're going to cry. Moshe was in pain, so he cried. And that would be the cry of Moshe on behalf of the nation to the end of his life. The cry of the child accompanied the teacher of Israel from the bank of the Nile River through the Sinai Desert, from the tent of meeting until the mountain bordering the land of Israel. I'll say the last sentence one more time. The cry of the child, Vihine Na'ar Bocha, accompanied the teacher of Israel from the bank of the Nile River through the Sinai Desert, from the tent of meeting, the Ohal Moed, until the mountain bordering the land of Israel and the day of his death. Why? Because of three women who made sure that the child would survive. Says Miriam Peretz, you're an inspiration. You're a hero, people tell me. I pinch myself. Look at me. Am I really a hero? I am flesh and blood, just like everyone else. In my own eyes, I am no hero at all. But if a hero is someone who chooses life, then yes, I have chosen. If a hero is someone who continues to love the land of Israel and the Jewish people, yes, I love them. And if a hero is someone who wants to give and do good, only good, then yes, I am a hero. Where she talks about a heart. Sometimes I place my hand on my heart and I wonder how my heart, continues to function. Every knock on the door shrunk my heart. Every death notice shattered me to smithereens. But in the 5 years since Eli Ruz was killed, my heart has grown larger and wider. From my point of view, it's a miracle. I should not have kept living. It's divine providence. Every day I thank God in heaven for continuing to believe in me, for continuing to bless me with life. And that's what these three heroines did on the banks of the Nile River in the time of Shibud Mitzrayim. They chose life. They chose to do good. They chose to do for somebody else. They chose to save the Savior of Israel, and they blessed him with life. I wish everybody had Shabbat Shalom. Most of you weren't here in the beginning. Just listen, please. Please listen. There is no Shir. I announced it at the beginning, but I want to know. Next week, yes, Shir, January 19th, Bezrat Hashem, we should all be well. January 26th, there is no Shir. Okay? And Mimi, the neshama of your father, Moshe ben Yechiel Mechel, Lav Hashem, should marry an Aliyah on the first year, it's in the Zchus of our Torah. Thank you so much, everybody. Kol Tov, thank you to all.